Airbus says the A350 is being delayed again. TSA adds more airports to its trusted traveler test. And the game of chicken between the EU and China intensifies. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plagg. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Please take a moment to remember the service of our veterans today. I can't believe some radio stations have been playing all Christmas music for a week already. Anyway, here's what's up in aviation for Friday, 11-11-11. If it was okay for Airbus to attempt to score points on delays in development of Boeing's 787 Dreamliner, then turnabout is fair play. Airbus said Thursday the production of its A350 XWB composite airliner will be delayed due to unavailability of some key composite and detailed parts. The start of the final assembly line is now scheduled for the first quarter of next year. Entry into service is now scheduled for the first half of 2014 to ensure smooth production ramp-up capability. The Financial Times reports the A350 is now a full year behind schedule. Analyst Scott Hamilton tells Reuters that Boeing may gain a little breathing room in getting the 787 out to customers. Meanwhile, Airbus announced the end of its A340 program in its most recent earnings statement. Eads says ending the program will lead to a savings of $261 million. Analysts tell Bloomberg the four-engined A340 is not able to compete with similar-sized but more fuel-efficient twin-engine airliners like the Boeing 777, which is reflected in Boeing's recent plans to step up production of that plane. The A340 is now the shortest-lived airliner program in Airbus history, having entered service in 1993. Airbus said in Thursday's earnings report it has sold no A340s in the past 2 years. TSA Administrator John Pistole announced Wednesday that three more airports will be added to the TSA PreCheck pilot program to help TSA evaluate measures designed to enhance security by placing more focus on pre-screening individuals prior to flying in order to expedite the travel experience. The name is a little confusing. This is not expedited screening for pilots, but a pilot program to evaluate expedited screening for all frequent flyers. The new airports in the program include Los Angeles International, which will open the test to participants traveling on American Airlines, Las Vegas McCarran International, for participants traveling on both Delta and American, and Minneapolis-St. Paul International, opening in early 2012, for Delta passengers. TSA says support for the program has been overwhelmingly positive, prompting over 600 comments so far, with 99% being supportive of the program. Eligible participants will normally pass through checkpoints without the need to remove their shoes or take their notebook computers or liquids from their luggage. The October 4th ditching of a Bell 206 helicopter into New York's East River during a sightseeing flight has claimed a third victim. The pilot, Paul Dudley, reported mechanical problems just after takeoff from the 34th Street heliport and went down into the water. He was able to pull himself to the shore. His passengers were a 60-year-old English tourist, Harriet Nicholson, her 71-year-old husband, Paul, their daughter, Sonia Mara, who was enjoying the flight on her 40th birthday, and 43-year-old Helen Tamaki, a citizen of New Zealand. Mara was trapped underwater for an extended period and died on the scene. Tamaki, described as Mara's partner, died a week later. Now, CNN reports the New York Medical Examiner's Office has announced the death of Mara's mother, Harriet, due to what were termed respiratory complications of near drowning, which the Associated Press describes as meaning a shortage of oxygen to the brain. Personal injury attorneys have been quick to jump on the case, with one publicly advertising the likelihood that the pilot or operator of the helicopter may be to blame for inadequate maintenance or pre-flight inspection. The NTSB's factual investigation will not likely produce a final report on probable cause for about a year. As January 1st comes into view on the calendar, neither side in the standoff over a controversial new European carbon tax shows any sign of backing down. Europe's new emissions trading system, or ETS, would charge flights arriving in the EU's jurisdiction a fee for their carbon dioxide emissions, even for portions of the flights outside Europe. The US, China, and two dozen other nations say that violates a 1944 treaty, which gives all nations exclusive authority over their own domestic airspace. Reuters reports that Air China, China Eastern Airlines, China Southern Airlines, and Hainan Airlines announced Wednesday that they will jointly sue the EU over the tax. The move follows a joint action taken by the Air Transport Association of America, American Airlines, and United Continental to block ETS from taking effect. That attempt was rebuffed in the High Court in London last year. In comments to Reuters, Kai Haibo, Deputy Secretary General of the China Air Transport Association, commented, quote, It's unfair. We are buying Airbus planes. If anyone is to blame for the emission problem, it should be the manufacturer, not the customers, unquote. The Chinese government has previously warned Europe that it might cancel orders from Airbus, in which some EU nations are stakeholders, if the Europeans try to impose ETS on its flights. Airbus's own forecasts suggest it plans to sell China about 2,000 new airliners over the next 20 years, but so far, it's not backing down on the new tax. Still ahead, the NLRB fight with Boeing is unmasked by Judicial Watch. Augusta Westland announces more sales of the AW189. And how about a story about a veteran who's beating the odds? You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, November 11th. I'm Paul Platt. If there was any question that the Obama administration's National Labor Relations Board is really acting against Boeing in South Carolina based on principle, it's been answered by some startlingly candid and flippant insider emails obtained by Judicial Watch. Judicial Watch has published internal communications among the Labor Board and its attorneys that demonstrate the conversation was as much about politics as about the law. When Boeing filed suit against the board for its unprecedented usurpation of power, an article in The Economist supported the company. Miriam Shapiro, an NLRB attorney, noted in an April 28th email to another board attorney, Deborah Willen, quote, "It just shows you how incredibly reactionary the U.S. is, that the conservative economist thinks we're Neanderthal," unquote. Other internal emails include a political cartoon mocking the state of South Carolina and the nicknaming of its Senator James DeMint as Dement, as in demented. One, dated April 22nd, was sent from acting NLRB General Counsel Leif Solomon to outgoing chairwoman Wilma Liebman following a French article predicting a devastating potential economic impact if the board was successful against Boeing. Solomon joked, quote, "The article gave me a new idea. You go to Geneva and I get a job with Airbus. We screwed up the U.S. economy, and now we can tackle Europe," unquote. NLRB Associate General Counsel Barry Kearney was openly rooting for the IAM when the union announced the complaint against Boeing, saying, "Hooray for the red, white, and blue," in a May 5th email. Regarding an article in The Hill about a House request to the board for documents related to the suit, NLRB Regional Director Richard Ahern informed NLRB Regional Hearing Officer Peter Finch, quote, "We will politely decline," unquote. Judicial Watch notes Ahern was the one who signed the NLRB complaint against Boeing. Judicial Watch President Tom Fitton observes, quote, "The NLRB is supposed to be a neutral arbiter of labor disputes, not a cheerleader for unions," unquote. Augusta Westland announced Thursday that Bristow Group Incorporated has signed a contract for 6 AW189 helicopters, plus options for more. The helicopters will support offshore transport missions. Bristow already has AW139s operating globally, and the manufacturer calls it an excellent relationship. The AW189 was launched this year in response to the growing market demand for a versatile, affordable, multi-role helicopter in the 8-ton class, and has rapidly found success in the market. Set to enter service in 2014, the twin-engine AW189 is optimized for long-range offshore transport and search and rescue missions. The cabin is configured with 16 seats, with the option for a high-density 18-seat layout, or an ultra-long-range 12-seat configuration. Simulator and training devices will progressively be made available to serve the worldwide AW189 customer base. Angel Medflight has been honored with a Special Achievement in Entrepreneurship Award during the 15th Annual Spirit of Enterprise Awards presented by the W.P. Carey School of Business at Arizona State University. The awards pay tribute to Arizona businesses that excel in the areas of ethics, energy, and entrepreneurship. Angel Medflight is an international medical transfer company which transports ill and injured patients via medically configured jets. It was founded in 2007 by Jeremy Freer, a then 25-year-old flight paramedic with a dream of helping patients and their families. Angel Medflight was announced the winner during a November 8th luncheon at the Westin Kierland Resort and Spa in Scottsdale. The ceremony was attended by hundreds of business and community leaders, and highlighted the achievements of 10 Arizona businesses whose founders have shown remarkable vision and tenacity in the realization of their ideas. And finally today, lots of sad stories come to mind when we ponder Veterans Day, so let's leave on a happy note. Chris Schwentner is a former infantryman who sustained two traumatic brain injuries only 6 weeks apart while serving in Iraq. After his injuries, he made it his mission to continue serving his country in the U.S. Army Reserves and to prove he can still excel as a student. Studying doesn't come as easily for the recipient of two Purple Hearts as it did when he earned a degree from Penn State, so Chris simply works harder. That's how he became a sport pilot. That's how he has now become a certified light sport repairman. With tuition and expenses paid through his Able Flight Career Training Scholarship, Chris graduated with a 98 on his final exam at Rainbow Aviation in California, and within days was hired by the maintenance department at Chesapeake Sport Pilot near his home in Maryland. Charles Stites of Able Flight remarks, quote, "Chris has proven he deserved the opportunity. During his training at Rainbow Aviation, I heard that he didn't even take a weekend day off. He just kept pushing himself to learn as much as he could. Now his dedication has paid off with his new job at Chesapeake Sport Pilot," unquote. Of his scholarship and his new career, Schwentner said, quote, "This opportunity has opened so many new doors for me. I hope that I can live up to that and make all the people that make Able Flight possible very proud. I want to thank them once again for seeing the potential in me and giving me this amazing opportunity," unquote. That's the latest from Aero News. If you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.